Thank you. I just need to clarify a couple of things. First off, I don't oversee the program. I'm the vaccine manager for the program. Another lady by the name of Kathy Marceau is our VBYG coordinator. And at the end of the presentation, I will have all of her contact information. So if you have any questions, you can follow up with her. Secondly, I do want to thank Suzanne and the people that put together the agendas for these for the conference. As my colleagues that are here in the room have acknowledged to me every time they've seen me in the hall, it recognizes me as Dr. Mark Francisconi. So my mother is proud. She can now call me her son, the doctor. So, okay, to talk to you about Vaccinate Before You Graduate, what we refer to as VBYG, the program is basically, our goal is to ensure that every high school senior has an opportunity to receive all ACIP recommended immunizations before entering college or leaving school to enter the workforce. Vaccinate Before You Graduate, as you've heard from my colleagues up here, is not something that is meant to replace the medical home. It is there to complement it, okay? We make sure that our program gets out into the high schools, and we make sure that we're out in both public and private high schools throughout the state. Vaccinate Before You Graduate was a program that was originally an initiative between the Rhode Island Department of Health's Immunization Program and the Rhode Island Childhood Immunization Action Coalition. Immediately upon deciding to move forward with this program, we also found out that there were other key partners that had to be brought in. We had to bring in the entire health department. We had to have the Department of Education, school administrators, school nurse teachers, and their faculty, of course, parents and guardians. We had to have students, as well as we needed to look to the community to find a contractor that would be able to manage and run these clinics that we were looking to set up. And one piece that I did forget to put on the slide is we were also in need of having a very strong relationship with the pharmaceutical companies. Why have a VBYG program? Well, basically, there were a bunch of elements that all came together at the same time that demanded we do something in the state of Rhode Island. Some of those elements, you know, hepatitis B vaccine for adolescent requirements, school regulations requiring the hepatitis B, regulations requiring second doses of MMR, new college and university regulations, Rhode Island laws that were put in place with regards to meningococcal vaccines, welfare to work provisions. Basically, our welfare to work provision is it's a program that we want to make sure that we're able to assist those people that are being put into the work environment, such as healthcare or restaurant facilities, where they're going to need certain vaccines to meet their job requirements. Also, the increasing numbers of young children being vaccinated against varicella, but the key element was that too many adolescents with too few providers and too few immunizations. We needed to make sure that we could address this issue and take care of it. In 2000, when we originally started looking at this program, our data gave, with regards to adolescents, that nearly 45% of adolescents were missing at least one dose of their hepatitis B vaccines. 30% were missing their TD booster, and approximately 30% also missing the varicella dose. One of the schools reported to us that 74% of their seniors had not had a TD booster in the previous 10 years. So what were some of the problems that we had to face? Number one, the Rhode Island workforce was under-immunized and could not afford these vaccines, because the Rhode Island workforce was predominantly students that were coming out of high school and jumping right into the workforce, didn't have any money, didn't have insurances, and they were without any opportunity to get those vaccines. Other problems, teenagers do not go to regular checkups, as we've heard. And the other problem is, where do we find these adolescents? Where can we get them so that they're a captive audience and we can then educate them and vaccinate them? The solution, schools. Okay, in the schools, we've already got them, they're a captive audience, and it gives us an opportunity to educate the underclassmen as we're vaccinating the seniors that are about to graduate outside the program. how to develop such a program, who's eligible, and how to fund it. Eligibility in Rhode Island, we have the benefit of being a universal state. So with regards to universal vaccines, everyone is eligible to receive vaccines through the either VFC 317 or state-supplied vaccines. So by being a universal state, it eliminates that obligation for financial need. How is the program being funded? We're funded through a CDC grant with regards to adolescent programs. And as I mentioned, with us being a universal state, we also, the way we receive our funding for the state portion of our vaccines is that we charge an assessment fee to all of the insurance providers that do business in the state of Rhode Island. And that assessment fee is directly brought into the department as a restricted receipt account solely for the purchase of vaccines. Okay? One thing that we did decide when we started the program is that if a teenager, if an adolescent, was given the first dose of a series prior to them graduating from high school, we did follow up and allow them to complete the series within the following year. So even though they had graduated, you know, even if they had exceeded their 19th birthday, we still had funds available through our state-supplied funds that we could follow up with these vaccines. Now I'd like to talk to you about a couple of the components of our program, starting off with the educational program. Okay, the educational component is when we get out and we talk with the students. Okay, we have found that by being involved in school assemblies, school health fairs, and after-school events, that we can once again educate the underclassmen about what is coming up, why they need these vaccines, both for future employment and also for future college endeavors. We have our outreach component. The outreach component is directed more towards the parents. We have found that giving pamphlets of information to the students is not the best way to get information home to mom and dads. I have two teenagers. The only way I find it is when they empty out their backpacks and it's the crumbled papers on the bottom. So what we've decided to do is we do send it home with the students, but then we follow up. We also send out mailings with screening questionnaires, consent forms, and the current visas of all the vaccines that are going to be made available through these clinics. We also send a VBYG brochure, and we make ourselves available for parent-teacher organization meetings to go in and present this information to them. And last but not least, one of the benefits of our program is that our contracted vendor that runs all of our clinics for us, they make sure that a vaccine record is available for each adolescent participant in the program so that when they walk out, they have proof of those vaccinations that they were given in case of need for employment. Immunization clinics. The way we run these clinics, and I do have to acknowledge, I have a gentleman here that is with the company, the wellness company, who is our vendor of choice, and he will be available to answer any questions with regards to relating directly to the clinics. But the clinics, the way we set them up is we try to have as many as 4 to 5 different events at each school that is participating in the program. That way there it gives the students an opportunity to meet the, in order to attend at least one of the events and get the information that is necessary. Because we may find out that they don't have their consent form in time, so they may miss the first event, but they can get the consent form for the next or the third and so forth. The vendor also offers in-office scheduled appointments. So if they are unable to meet the scheduled dates of the clinics, they can schedule something outside of that. And in 2005, we decided that in order to meet the need of those children that their schools weren't participating in our program, that we opened up 2 summer events to catch them up. We did one at the local malls, and we do one at our Department of Health. So we also offer incentives to, like anything else, people want to walk away with something tangible to show that they did something. So for the students, we have pens with Vaccinate Before You Graduate logos on it, stress balls, lanyards, lip balm. We have all types of, small, inexpensive items, but it's just something that they can walk away with. We also had to decide which vaccines were going to be provided by VBYG. the vaccines that we ended up with at the beginning of the program were Hep B, MMR, TD, which then in 2005 became TDAP, varicella, meningococcal, polio, and in 2005, once again, we brought on influenza, and then in 2007, we've added on the HPV vaccine. And I will tell you that the HPV vaccine, that was a major coup in the state of Rhode Island. We actually got the Diocese of Rhode Island to approve for us to offer the HPV vaccine in the Catholic schools. Basically, if you're going to pitch to the diocese, go to them solely on the fact that it's cervical cancer preventative drug. They are willing to accept that as proof. So, vendor involvement. As you can see, there is a long list of information with regards to what we rely upon on our vendor. They schedule the clinic sessions with the schools. They staff the clinics. They administer the vaccines. They bill the insurance companies for the administration fees. They generate vaccine administration records that go to the individual students and to the school personnel. They store and deliver the vaccines according to CDC standards. They track every lot number of every dose. They manage all medical waste from the events. They maintain a medical director on staff for standing orders and for medical assurance. They maintain a database of all of the students that have been served, and they submit that data to us on a regular basis to update our immunization registry. Some of the lessons learned through our program. Get the schools involved early. As soon as you decide, if you decide to move forward with this type of a program, talk to the schools, find out how many of them are interested in moving forward. Share responsibilities. You know, you want to make sure that the schools are as involved, you know, the Department of Education, your communities, you want to get everyone involved and make sure that everyone has an equal share in owning this program. Get parents and students involved as soon as possible. Subcontract the program, you know, administration to an outside organization with strong youth skills. The wellness company comes to us with a history of dealing with the adolescent market. Collect insurance information for vendor administration reimbursement. Regular communication between the vendor and the Department of Health. We are in contact with our vendor on a daily basis. And then annual program evaluations. Have the schools give you feedback with regards to how the program is working. Continuing on with lessons learned, keep the medical community aware of the program events. We do have issues from time to time with the doctors within our state where they feel that VBYG is infringing upon their patients. And we remind them that we are there only as a backup source. That if the adolescents that are coming to us have a primary care physician or a pediatrician, we refer them to see their doctors first. We recommend that the VBYG clinics be used only as a last resort for getting those vaccines. Once again, and with regards to the medical doctors throughout the state, we give them copies of annual reports, breakdowns on how many vaccines, how many students, and so forth. Be involved with the local communities. Get in information into the local media, town meetings, school assemblies, health fairs. Get as much information out there as you can with regards to the program. Utilize websites. In the age of technology that we're in now, everyone's got a website. Get the information on the website, especially on the school websites, listing the dates of the clinics and any additional information that the parents may need where they can get it right off the school site. And then make sure you distribute the current VIS, both with the consent form and make it available at the events. Next couple of slides are some summaries of the annual reports that we've submitted, just to give you a look at what we've done over the past 6.5, coming 7 years. We started off in 2001 with 31 schools, just over 1,000 students that enrolled in the program, totaling up to just over 2,400 vaccines being given. Year two, we jumped to 49 schools, over 1,600 students, and over 3,000 shots given. Year three, Once again, we increased the amount of schools. We jumped to 53 schools, but we saw a decline in participation of enrollment of students. The issue that we had there is that we researched it to find out that it's based, the enrollment is based on the graduating class sizes of the schools that were participating. That year was a lower number of graduating seniors. 2004 was the first year that we actually saw a drop in schools. There were three schools that dropped out of the program because the previous years there was low enrollment in their school. So, but other than that, we still maintained 1,700 students and 2,300 doses of 300 vaccines being issued. 2005, we jumped back up again to 60 schools with over 2,000 students, over 3,000 shots. 2006, actually, I want to jump back on 2005, one of the other things that we missed. Do I have a back on here? Is it the other side? We'll go back. There we go. Okay. One of the things is at the bottom, you can see that we had introduced flu vaccine to the program, where 845 students took us up on the flu vaccine. And also the numbers that had reduced with regards to student enrollment was that was the year that we also had a shortage of the meningococcal vaccine. So we were limited to the amount of students that were actually qualified to get the vaccines. 2006 was the first year that we introduced our summer clinics. And once again, 64 schools, 1,700 students, and just under 3,000 doses administered. And, there's where the restriction was 2006 for the meningitis. And that brings us to the 2007-2008 school calendar year. As of February 1st, we have 73 schools enrolled in the program. We still have our two summer sessions scheduled for this summer. 1,200 students enrolled to date, 1,800 shots given, and to date, 412 students have received 722 doses of HPV. This graph shows that one thing that we had originally intended was for VBYG to be about a five-year program. We figured that we would sooner or later start to catch up on our immunization program, on our 1997 cohort that are in our registry. So sooner or later we knew that we would start to see a decline, and it started to happen. Now, as you can see with the hepatitis B, MMR, the TD, those all started to decline. But then there came the new recommendations for Tdap and the new recommendations with regards to second dose varicella. So you can see that there's a jump. And as long as there are changes with regards to the vaccines, we're going to see that this program is going to need to continue on. And in final summary, looking back over 2001 through 2007, we have enrolled over 9,700 students into the program, given out over 16,000 shots. And in our opinion, we're looking at a program that if it wasn't there, these are all children that would not have received their vaccines. So in our eyes, we see this as a very successful program, and we're willing to share this information with anyone who would be interested. And as I had mentioned at the beginning, Kathy Marcel is our VBYG coordinator. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact her. I can answer some that you might have today. I also have Randall Lynn here from the wellness company that he is willing to answer any questions as well with regards to the clinic operations. Thank you.
Thank you to all of our speakers. I think we have time for a few questions. And if you do have a question, please come up to the mic. Let's
see. Hi, Stan Schaefer from Rochester, New York. I have a couple of questions actually for Allie. Allie, do you know what percentage of the kids in schools in Denver where there are school-based health centers actually went to the school-based health center in their school during a school year, as opposed to being registered there, actually going?
Yeah. In an average year, 80% are enrolled, and about half or slightly more go.
Okay. And then also, do you know anything on a national basis about what number or percent of the states have laws or regulation requiring commercial insurers to pay for services provided by school-based health centers? I know some states do. Our state requires them to pay. New York does. For immunizations, for services provided there, but I don't know.
I'm not aware of that. Okay. No, it wasn't asked on our survey.
Thanks.
Yes, I'm from Idaho. I really enjoyed the talks on all of the visitors today. I wanted to ask a question about the litigation concern about having an on-site immunization clinic. Did you have any issues with attorneys being involved with the schools when you first began the program? We're very involved in the coalition activities going into the schools and vaccinating free as well, but it's not to anywhere near the extent, and we use all volunteer efforts through our coalition. We don't use any vendors at all, and we had to make inroads with the attorneys of the schools in order to get actually on foot into the building. Any ideas on that?
Okay, I'm assuming that question is directed towards me. Okay, Randy, answer if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that we have agreements in place with all of the schools. That's part of the enrollment into the program, and we also have consent forms from each of the parents that are involved for their adolescents that are getting the vaccines. But do you know of, Randy, any other legal issues that we've had to address?
Well, I mean, today, because the program has been around and because we've gained a lot of community trust in terms of how we perform in the school and what we're offering, we have fewer questions. But I can tell you, when we first started out, those first 20 or 21 schools were very difficult to convince the school administrators that we had a right to be there to offer the immunizations, that the children had a right for us to be there, and that it was something they really needed to do. So they were very concerned about the liability of having any kind of program like that, especially with an outside vendor. So it took a while to accomplish that, but as you can see with the increased schools that we have now, it's been very well accepted throughout the state.